Support for this public radio podcast comes from KeyBank, focused knowledge, customized solutions, and the resources of an entire bank. Because the best solutions fit around a business's needs. More at key.com/corporate. And by BNY Mellon Wealth Management. Since 1784, helping financially successful individuals and families protect and maximize wealth. Information at BNYMellonWealthManagement.com.
The Downfall of a Prince.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Doug Krisner. Charles Prince is out as CEO of Citigroup. This follows an emergency meeting yesterday of Citi's board. Fallout from the subprime fiasco is the reason. Head of Citigroup's European operations, Sir Win Bischoff, will be named interim chief executive. And former Treasury Secretary and senior Citi advisor Robert Rubin will become chairman. News of this shakeup has roiled European stock markets this morning. From London, Stephen Beard reports.
Charles Prince's departure was expected, but investors here have been shocked by Citigroup's latest subprime losses. On Sunday, it emerged the bank will have to write off between $8 and $11 billion. That's in addition to the $5.9 billion it wrote off in the third quarter. British bank shares fell by up to 4% this morning. Analyst Mark Durling says, following Citigroup's revelations, investors are scared bad news from British banks could be around the corner.
It's uncertainty which is leading to fear, which is leading to the share price corrections that are coming through, which are probably overdone. But until we see that disclosure, that trend is likely to continue in the short term.
Meanwhile, Citigroup shares listed on the Tokyo stock market rose today by almost 6%. Some investors apparently believe the world's biggest bank could now be broken up and its valuable assets sold off. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
Each of the major European markets are down nearly 1%. Overnight in Asia, weaker financial stocks led the major markets lower. The Nikkei was off 1.5%. The market in Hong Kong finished down about 5%. The bright spot in the packed rim was the initial public offering of PetroChina. This is China's biggest oil and gas producer. Shares tripled on their first day. This is the first company to have a market value of more than $1 trillion. That's larger than the entire Russian stock market. It was a rough ride for Wall Street last week, especially brutal for financial companies. The Dow and the S&P each lost about 1.5% for the week, but the Nasdaq was up a fraction. Film and TV writers are officially on strike today for the first time in nearly 20 years. Talks between the writers' union and representatives for the major studios broke down late last night. The immediate impact will be television. Late-night talk shows will be in reruns. That'll mean headaches for advertisers. From WLRN, Marketplace's Dan Gretsch reports.
The Tonight Show with Jay Leno pulls in roughly $50 million a year in profit for NBC. But without writers, late night and other talk shows will go to reruns. That means smaller audiences for programs and for commercials. Brad Adgate is with Horizon Media. He says networks will give advertisers extra time or money back if audiences shrink too far.
Marketers will be protected, and I think they have other opportunities to spend their dollars besides a 30-second commercial on television.
And therein lies the risk. While writers and studios fight over digital revenues, advertisers and viewers could flock to the web.
The irony about all of this is you might start to see people go online to get entertainment rather than watching television.
I'm Dan Gretsch for Marketplace.
Kraft Foods has been trying to get rid of its slow-growth businesses, like Post cereals. Now the Wall Street Journal reports Kraft is close to a deal to sell Post to Rall Corp for $2.8 billion. The cereal business has been a challenge lately. Concern about childhood obesity has led to flat sales of sugary breakfast foods.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Duke University's Fuqua School of Business Executive MBA programs, where working professionals earn Duke MBAs from locations around the world. Online at DukeExecutiveMBA.com. By Grant Thornton, dedicated to serving their clients worldwide with a passion for the business of accounting. On the web at GrantThornton.com. and by BNY Mellon Wealth Management. Since 1784, helping successful individuals and families protect and maximize wealth. BNYMellonWealthManagement.com.
Congress is struggling over how to get tough with Iran. There's talk of more sanctions and reimposing a 1980s ban on imported Persian rugs. Lisa Chow from member station WNYC reports on how the ban may accelerate what's already taking place in the U.S. marketplace.
It takes a connoisseur to recognize a real Persian rug, and the connoisseur knows that nothing rivals the real thing.
This is the most gorgeous silk. It's the finest of the finest. You can touch it. It's beautiful, soft.
And expensive. Nouria Zeiss works for one of the largest Persian rug importers on the East Coast. He says some rugs sell for as much as $100,000 retail. They're handmade, their colors are bright, and they often feature large traditional centerpiece motifs. There's only a small market in the U.S. for these kinds of carpets. American buyers usually want muted tones and regular patterns to match their furniture. Aziz says it's not easy getting his Iranian weavers to satisfy American tastes for style and color.
The guy laughs at me. He says, my grandfather was making this color rose. My son was making this color rose. I'm making this color rose. And you young, stupid guy, you're telling me this is not a good color? They are very stubborn, too. You know, they're very stubborn people.
It's that stubbornness that has curtailed the market in genuine Persian rugs. Most Americans now buy rugs made in India, China, and Pakistan. Kami Ohebshalam is a broker in Manhattan's Oriental Rug District. Congress may ban Persian carpets, he says, but it won't make much difference to Iranian weavers. These days, they're selling in Asia and Europe, where currencies are stronger than the dollar. And with high oil prices boosting Iran's local economy, there's plenty of domestic demand.
Iranians inside the country have so much money that they don't even need to export their rugs anymore. The rugs get sold within the country.
The price of a Persian rug will certainly go up if a ban goes through. But Nouria Zeiss says prices are already rising. Carpet weaving is labor-intensive, he says, and weavers are finding that younger workers would rather develop skills in technology. In New York, I'm Lisa Chow for Marketplace.
And in Los Angeles, I'm Doug Krisner. Thanks for listening. Make it a good day.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.